Understood is a resource I have recommended for many years to parents looking for support with learning and thinking differences such as ADHD, dyslexia, and more. And I'm subsequently excited to tell you about their podcast, Understood Explains. This season, the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert Juliana Urtube, and it's all about how to navigate individual education plans, also known as IEPs. They cover topics such as how to tell if your child needs an IEP, common myths about special education, and the difference between IEPs and 504 plans. I love how Understood Explains breaks down the overwhelm by unpacking an important topic each season and then drilling down further into key basics in each episode. Most episodes are between 10 to 15 minutes, and episodes are available in both English and Spanish. So fantastic, right? To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome to the Edit Your Life podcast. I'm Christine Coe.
And I'm Asha Dornfest, and we're here to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome.
We share practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection.
And we believe that baby steps are the key to getting there.
Oh, well, hello, Asha.
Hi!
Kermit Flail. Welcome back.
How's it going, my dear?
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, I don't think I'm the only one who's going to be Kermit flailing. I know our dear, dear listeners have missed you this summer, even though I will say that the summer roster of guest hosts, I think was pretty rad. That said, welcome back. How are you?
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, that thank you encompasses so many things because that summer roster of guest hosts. That was something that you created and pulled together and, you know, just encouraged those amazing conversations. And we've talked personally about how grateful I am to have had this time off. It wasn't exactly time off. But it was just a big step back that I needed to take this summer for my own personal and family reasons. And it was the right thing to do. It was the right thing to do. And I feel very, very lucky to have done it. And I am so happy to be talking to you here again. It just sort of feels like I think so many of us feel this way. It's like we lived another life before and now we're living a new life. And so in some ways, this feels like a reunion after a big, long trip.
Yeah. And spring feels like 8 years ago. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
It really does. And I think, I think sometimes, we don't always have the opportunity to take the time that we need when things happen in life. And I did have that opportunity and I am really grateful for that.
I'm so glad. Well, I know that we connect with a lot of listeners online. I think, particularly on Instagram, just on our personal channels. And, that said, I thought it would be really nice to both for us and also for our listeners to kind of do a loose conversational check-in. It's fall, sort of. but actually, I just thought it would be good to just do a quick check-in about summer, which, was sort of weird. I guess I'll just start quickly by saying, and I was pretty active, I think, on Instagram for most of the summer. So we were largely at home. It was odd, but also fine. I think the only time we left home was a 2-night overnight to Vermont, where we stayed in an Airbnb where we had done all the COVID correspondence in advance to make sure everything was fine. And it was good. I mean, part of our homeboundness was because of James the dog, our pandemic dog. So, although he did go to the Airbnb. And thankfully did not poop or pee in the Airbnb. So I was really proud of him.
Isn't that amazing? It's funny, as you're even talking about this, I'm just thinking to myself, gosh, that feels like it was so long ago. But it was not so long ago that you did that.
What is time anyway?
Seriously.
Yeah. And I guess we'll get to other stuff. But, I will say I'm very proud of myself. I took sort of 2 weeks of home-based vacation. And I wasn't really off because I was still launching podcast episodes and stuff, but I was off, like my out of office was on my email and I didn't have any client meetings for 2 weeks of the summer. And that's a really big deal for me. So that was kind of rad.
That's how about great. You? That's so good. Well, let's see, summer. I'm having a hard time even remembering it. It really is strange. It's strange how time sort of does feel different right now. And I think for me, you know, as many listeners may remember, feels like a long time ago. It's over 7 months ago. My dad passed away very suddenly in February. So that was in really what kicked off this stepping back for me from the podcast. And so my dad passed away and then the pandemic really settled in. So my sort of experience of grief and loss really does alter how I experience time. So, so as I think back through summer, you know, in some ways spring and summer sort of merged together. My mom unexpectedly got stuck here at my house. She was here for a short visit, but then got stuck because of the pandemic lockdown. And so my mom ended up spending 4 months with us here, which of course actually turned into a total gift because so many people were isolated from their elderly parents during the pandemic. So, so that changed our experience of what was going on. And also, you know, my son came home from college, but then once summer started, actually my son went back to his home, in Minnesota and, with his own summer plans that were, sort of adjusted for the pandemic. And then we spent as much time as we could outside here in the Pacific Northwest. I ended up taking my mom home to California. That was a very interesting, road trip because, you know, we weren't really stopping places and we packed all our food and everything. But after that, it was really about spending time outside. And for me, it was lots of walking, lots of gardening, lots of hiking, and lots of journaling. So it was a contemplative summer, for me. And, yeah. I truly am having a hard time describing it. It was really, I think, you know, most of it was internal for me.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, 2020, you know, we know how we feel about 2020, but
I mean, you know, it's funny when you say, you know, there were good moments, there were absolutely good moments, you know, there were absolutely some beautiful times. I feel really lucky to live in Oregon. And although I will say that right now, you know, my state, like others in the West, are experiencing just terrible wildfires. Right now, you know, our neighborhood is safe here in Portland. Things change quickly, though. So I have a heaviness in my heart right now for folks in my part of the country. But there was a lot of beauty this summer. So I feel like I'm bringing much of that into the fall with me.
Yeah, I guess I would characterize it as, well, you had a lot of big sort of, I don't know, glacial things happening, but you know, I feel like it was the summer of small moments because we couldn't do any of the big, or we didn't do any of the big kind of crazy things one might do during summer. Or I guess we don't really tend to do crazy things, but I mean, it was like literally last week, small things like surprising the girls with bagels from the bagel place that opened that we've been wanting to go to forever. You know, just like really small things, but there was delight in those small things. And that was a good reminder, you know, when I'm up energy, that's how I like to think of it. Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about back to school, which at the time we're recording, it actually hasn't even happened for us yet. Officially, it will by the time this goes live. It's been a struggle. I actually shared a post yesterday on social that I don't know. Like I was down yesterday and just filled with doom and gloom. Yeah. Because everything is just so hard. So I think we're just trying to like, I guess the one good thing is that I'm feeling very embracing the last minuteness of things. Like people have been asking me like, are you reading the memos? Are you doing this? Are you doing that? And I'm like, I'm not even really bothering to read the memos until like 2 days before, because every 3 days there's an email saying, well, we have a change of plans. Mm-hmm. So that letting go is actually really good. And I don't know if you saw me share about this, but the other funny thing that happened is I volunteered for something at Violet's school, but like to be the website manager.
I did not see this. I insist that we have a long conversation after this podcast records. You have to tell me all about it.
Well, the main thing about it, and this is why I want to share it with our listeners too, because I know so many of us struggle with wanting to be helpful, but then being overwhelmed by like the sort of foot in the door, like you volunteer for something and then all these other things come tumbling out. Yeah. And so I literally wrote an email that was like, I'd love to help with this one thing, but only if there are no meetings involved. It was like so like co-leveled up boundaries. But it ended up being great. And so I'm going to do
that's it. That's so great.
Only with no meetings. I'm like, all I want is a punch list, or leave me to my intuitions. I've built a million websites over the last 14 years.
Right.
I don't need any meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that, and then the last thing I'll say about back to school that I'm, you know, just sort of unsure about is sports. And apparently both of my kids are going to have soccer seasons, and we'll see how that goes. There are rules, but we'll see how it goes. So I think the touch points with that normalcy are a good thing. It's just going to be, you know, managing my anxiety about it.
Yeah, I hear you. I really, really hear you. And I think that, first of all, two things jumped out as you're talking. First of all, the letting go, you know, and just sort of saying, okay, you know, like not tracking every single school decision as it gets made, you know, and on some level, trusting that the school folks are really working hard and trying to make this work in a sort of an impossible situation mm-hmm. themselves. But also at the same time, acknowledging that this really is incredibly difficult, the mm-hmm. school stuff, the school plus work plus everything together stuff, especially if you have more than one kid doing the stuff. But, you know, what you said about the boundaries, you know, the boundaries with your volunteer project, it's so interesting right now because we're living this online pandemic life, so many of us, we don't have the usual, you know, sort of other signals that we get from people when you spend time with them, right? All we have are the conversations we're having online.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Maybe we're like having socially distanced coffee with a friend every now and then or going for a walk. But, you know, all this stuff, it really does require like a new level of communication with people because, I mean, you and I are used to working online and you and I are used to working with people that are, you know, remote, but a lot of people aren't. And so, and also, you know, people need a lot of help right now because everything is different. So it's a great thing that you are willing to just sort of say, here's what I can do. Here's what I can't do. Let me be really specific. That probably in the end just completely simplified that person's life too.
Well,
so yeah. Communication during a pandemic. It's a thing.
Yeah. Well, you actually just reminded me of the sort of punchline in my mind about that whole situation, because I did realize when I was writing the email that it could be because we lack nuance. I don't know who's receiving this email. I was like, I might sound like kind of a jerk. So I said, I closed the email with, I understand. I feel a little bad writing that. So if you would like verification that I'm actually a nice person, then please talk to XXX. And it was somebody else who's really involved, a friend who's really involved in the school system. So I was like, I actually am a really nice person. I just am really busy.
So funny. Well, yeah, I know. It's what are you going to do? Anyway, yes. Well, so I really hear you. Back to school. Back to school is complicated. And I have to say that this is one place where I am exceedingly fortunate because I think our back to school is very, well, simple with air quotes. Simple meaning that I have one kid at home because my son is in college. So my daughter is starting her senior year in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. That sound you just made. That's why I said air quotes around the word simple, because the logistics are simple, meaning she is handling all of her own, you know, figuring out the links and figuring out the this and the timing and the assignments and all of that stuff. So I don't have to manage that or, you know, keep track of memos or anything like that. I mean, I'm sort of helping her troubleshoot as needed, but that's it. So I have it easy where the school logistics are concerned. That said, you know, to start your senior year, you know, and to sort of, you know, the emotions around it, the reality of that when in many ways, I think she's not even over the grief of the second half of her junior year being lost. So it is a complex situation for her. And I mean, there's more to it than that. I could go on, but I think we all understand that there are many, many feelings associated with this. And, you know, it's interesting because for some kids, actually, you know, the online learning is sort of a relief from the social intensity of school. Some kids are just like, this is working for me, you know, having a little space. For other kids, not so much. And my daughter would say that she's one of those people who just, you know, she misses her friends. She misses the energy of the school building. She misses her teachers and she wants to experience her senior year. So hopefully, you know, we'll see how things go. But I think we'll be talking about, you know, we'll be talking more about this as, you know, as the fall goes on. So I'll tell you later. But there's one other thing that I'm actually quite proud of. And that is that my son in college, he's in college in Minnesota. He decided to take a leave of absence. So he's actually not in school this semester. He has a job. And I am so proud of him for doing this because this is
what a tough decision. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. This is a step off the path for him. But of course, I know as an adult and as a human, it is not a step off any path. It's just a sort of curve in the path.
Mm-hmm.
And that the things he would learn from, you know, he's a Starbucks barista. He's going to be learning a lot as a person who's working. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if I could swap out a crappy COVID semester for a great, you know, non-COVID semester, I would do it. And so I was really proud of him for making this decision.
That's amazing. It's truly, I mean, such a hard, and he made this decision on his own. Like he,
yes,
it's
yes,
incredible. He made it. It's incredible.
This was not his initial decision. The school, which by the way, is managing the COVID response just valiantly, I would say, which I don't think is the case for all colleges. You know, things changed around because of health, the health status in his state. And he ended up reaching out to all of his professors during the summer and talking to a bunch of his friends and really thought it through. And once he got this job, he was like, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. And, you know, initially he was like, there is no way I'm doing that. So this was a huge turnaround for him. And he came to that decision on his own.
Amazing. Amazing. All right, Asha. Well, we have a bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to jump into work and elections in the next segment of the show, and we will do that after a quick break.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Do you struggle with boundaries and the general complexities of peopling? Relationships are necessary to our well-being, and some relationships are just, well, complicated. A good chunk of the work I have done in therapy centers on relationships, how to own my part of the story, how to let go of relationships that are toxic, and how to navigate challenging relationships in a way that doesn't drain me. And all of this work helps me show up better for myself and also as a partner, mom, friend, family member, and business owner. If you're thinking of starting therapy, check out BetterHelp. This online therapy platform was designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/edit today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/edit. Did you know that hyaluronic acid naturally occurs in our skin but decreases gradually as we age, leading to thinner, drier skin? If you're looking for support hydrating your skin from the inside out, check out one of the tools in my hydration arsenal, Rituals Hyacera, which I take every morning. Rituals products are tested and validated by a third party for allergens, microbes, and heavy metals, and Hyacera is clinically proven to reduce fine lines and increase skin smoothness in 90 days. They also engage in industry-leading sustainability standards and are a female-founded B Corp, which means they hold themselves accountable to not just their company's financial health, but also the health of people and our planet. Want to join me in hydrating from the inside out? Start Hyacera to help minimize wrinkles without compromising on clean science. Hyacera from Ritual is a clinically proven skin supplement you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/edit. Start Ritual or add Hyacera to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/edit for 25% off.
Okay, friends, Asha and I are back. That's fun to say. So I just kind of gave it a little punchy. Sorry. I, you know what? Before we recorded, I was actually running some Brave New World orders and like I had my playlist like fired up. So anyway, I got myself all fired up before this episode. All right. So let's, I thought it would be good to check in a little bit about work and, actually a couple things this part of the show. And I guess I will just start by saying that I am very, very grateful to have remained employed. I know this is a really, really hard time for people. So, yeah, I guess I'll just say that straight out. And, you know, Women Online, where I'm a creative director, the creative director rather, has been so busy. You know, we do so much work in education and health and also, you know, advocacy of all stripes that we've actually been incredibly busy. So so that's been good. And then, you know, we talked about Edit Your Life and our summer of amazing guests. The other big thing that happened this summer was John and I started a podcast. So
amazing.
It, crazy, right?
No, not crazy at all. Like, yeah, amazing.
It was great. It's called Hello Relationships. If people want to look it up, we decided to do a 10 episode season, which concluded a week or two ago. And it was just wonderful and so interesting and so reflective of the experience of being in relationship because we're both, you know, we both have very different work styles. And so to bring that together with our thoughts on all manner of relationship quandaries was really, really fascinating. It was awesome. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm. Love those podcasts.
What else happened? I have this ongoing saga with this book that I'm trying to find a home for. So I wrote a very fiery Twitter thread about it and what's broken about the book industry. I'll link that up. That was very interesting. Mm-hmm. And then what else? I've had some fun interviews. I will link them up. I don't know if you know Robin Silverman. She has a really great podcast about how to talk to kids about anything and recorded a really great episode about minimalist parenting with her. She's wonderful. And then actually pretty soon we'll be sharing an episode, an interview with Laura Tremaine, who is a fabulous podcaster. Do you know her? She's in our internet land, but
I know her name, but yeah, I don't know her personally.
She's fabulous. And actually we're sort of doing a crossover. So I'll be on her show too. And I'll share that when that comes out, cause we're going to be talking all about books, which is fun. Mm. And then I guess the final kind of sort of noteworthy, work thing happened was the Iris Awards came out. And you and I were both nominated for awards, which was really fun. And I'll let you talk about yours if you wish. Mm-hmm. But I was actually nominated for two of them, which is sort of crazy. One was for live stream of the year for the sex ed Facebook lives I do. How crazy is that for Amaze Parents? And then the other was for sponsored content, which is interesting because I actually am really picky about sponsored content. And the post for which I was nominated was in partnership with the CDC and American Academy of Pediatrics. And it was all about ACEs and childhood trauma. And honestly, it was, I think, one of the most meaningful posts I've written in my 14 years on the internet. And pretty heavy stuff. So to have that recognized was really, I don't know, it just felt really good for our industry. You know, mm-hmm. I think a mm-hmm. lot of people feel like influencer work is a little fluffy, and that work was definitely not fluffy.
You know, when I saw that Iris Award nomination, I recalled what it was like to read that when you first put it out. And then I recalled that ACE's post you know, the responses to the ACES post, because I read not only the post, but many of the responses. And I think that post, I really think that post may have changed lives. And I think that it's so, you know, that post changed my life. You know, I mean, people say that all the time, but I really do. And anyway, it's, I'll talk more when I talk about my own work life, because I think there's something there. There's something about like the human connection that's possible in a post like that. And in the, in a podcast like this, that that's what's magic about the internet. And it's still there and it's still really important.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I know. How about you?
I know. It's just like, oh boy. All right. Work. Well, there hasn't been a lot of it for me. So in many ways, I have had the opposite experience because of this break that I've taken that, you know, we already talked about. And I, you know, I'm so lucky that I really have been able to just pause because, you know, the events of spring really, I mean, they really stopped me in my tracks. So I was really able to focus on the care of my mom, care of myself, and focus on my family at that time. And that said, I have been doing, it's not that I haven't been doing a lot of work. It just has not been visible on the internet. So I've been doing a lot of writing. Much of it has been private, but I have been doing quite a lot of writing. I've also been, well, actually, you know what? I should talk about that Iris Award, but also I think the most important piece of writing that I could share right now that I've done is that I had an op-ed published in my state's newspaper, The Oregonian, and I will link that up in the show notes. The reason why I'm sharing that, it's not that it was work exactly, but that op-ed really, I think, is pointing the direction that I want to talk about. And it was all about how to start a democracy club, basically like a book club, but for, you know, being engaged in our democracy. So that op-ed really sort of pushed me in the direction of coming back out and doing more public work. And so in some ways, it reflects the post that I was nominated for the Iris Awards, which I think is connected to yours in some ways. And that post, which I will also link up, was all about how, you know, way back when I wrote a post about how I feel like blogs could save our country, because it was all about that notion of sharing ourselves and our human experiences online in ways that allow us to connect to each other. And I think that we can all agree that being connected to each other is tricky these days, not just because of the pandemic, but because a lot of black and white division between people. And, you know, why people are divided is complex. So I'm not going to make any sort of simplistic statements about it. But I really think that, you know, Christine and I, when we started blogging back in the mid-2000s, before social media, there really was a coming together and a bonding and a real connection between people that happened. There's a reason why Christine and I are such close friends, even though we literally met online. And
sounds creepy, doesn't it?
It does sound creepy now. But and even then, people were like, what, the internet? You know, there was such a division between in real life and online. Now, not so much because of social media.
Yeah.
But, you know, real connection, real communication was, and I would argue remains possible. And so that's what I was talking about in that post, which again, I'll link up. And that's what I was also talking about in some ways in my, my Democracy Club op-ed, that basically when people get together, amazing things happen. And so I really, that's a conversation I want to continue.
Well, yeah. So actually, let me just punt that right back to you, because one of the things I wanted to talk about was elections, and you've launched something new. So I'm going to put you on the spot about it right now.
All right. Go. I have. This is, okay, what I've launched. I have just launched a new video series called Vote Plus One. So I'm just going to say right now, if you go to voteplusone.org, you can check it out. So basically what it is just I am filming a series of videos where I share simple, concrete actions you can take to help turn out Democratic voters in the 2020 election. It's as simple as that. It's all about helping other people vote. And the idea is that it's less about politics and more about participation. So this is about encouraging folks who I believe, you know, I believe most people I interact with are already voters. So I am, you know, I have no doubt that most people who, you know, my friends, folks I'm talking to, people who talk to me online, they're voters. I am really encouraging people to do just one more thing, hence vote plus one. Mm-hmm. Vote plus one more thing to help other people vote. And if we do that, we will supersize Democratic voter turnout, and voter turnout is what is going to determine who wins the election. Mm-hmm. And that's so very important to me. That's something that I've been focused on for the last 4 years.
It sure is. And so, yeah, a lot is on the line.
And the fact is, there are so many. I mean, you know, we'll talk about what you're doing, Christine, because you're already volunteering. But there really are so many things that we can do to help other people vote. And those things do not have to take over our lives. Mm-hmm. Those things do not require special knowledge. They don't even have to require an interest in politics, because I will tell you, I'm not particularly interested in politics at all. What I am interested in is democracy. Mm-hmm. And I am interested in my ability to participate in the leadership of my own city and my own state and country. Mm-hmm. So that's very interesting to me. And the only way that continues is if we all get involved. So, so that's what Vote Plus One is going to be about. I'm sure we'll talk about it more later, but I just launched it like the day before yesterday as of this recording.
Like recently. Exactly. So I need to, I need to get out and share that stuff. But I think that's amazing. And really, if for no other reason, listeners, like, you can go see Asha's cute face, like, live talking, like, how that's a dose of sunshine into your day.
I'll just say one other thing, Christine, and that is that, you know, it's funny when you said, you know, I got to share about that. You know, it's funny. I will say that I have channeled your voice so much because, you know, you who really knows, like, you know how to create a bulleted list and then implement and execute. You know, for me, I often get sort of lost in the creative weeds. And this has really been an exercise for me in, like, let's simplify this, but let's make it good and let's get it out there. So I don't have much of a launch plan. I have a plan to, like, get it out there. And so, you know, maybe next week I'll start actually coming up with a plan to launch it, even though it's already launched. But the main thing is, I want to help people, and I want people to feel like this election is something that they have a hand in, bigger hand than just voting. And every one of us can do something. So, yes, go check out voteplusone.org or the Vote Plus One hashtag.
Yeah. So good. Thank you. Speaking of bullet points, no, just kidding. Well, actually, yes. I'll just share real quick. You know, I think what you're doing is so great because this is a hard time. Everybody is overwhelmed, and there are really, really small things that people can do to get more involved. And I love the way you said just a few minutes ago, I'm not really interested in politics. I'm interested in democracy. I think that's like that's definitely something, if you haven't already, to like highlight, because I think a lot of people do shy away from, you know, any of this because they're like, oh, well, I'm not really a political person, but it's a bigger thing than that. So kudos to you on that. And I'll just say, I have kind of have done two things that are really at these opposite spectrums of involvement. And the big one was that, actually, based on a comment from an Instagram follower, I decided to volunteer to work the polls this year for the first time.
So amazing.
It was, so I worked the primaries. It was both extremely gratifying and amazing to be part of that process. And it was completely chaotic and like and very fascinating to have an indoor inside lens on what happens and how chaotic and how angry people can be. And I mean, I worked a 15-hour shift, which was in itself nuts. And the reason I joked about bullet points is you better believe that after that, you know, experience, Christine Coe wrote, I was said to John, I'm like, I have some thoughts that I feel like I need to share to like the higher ups about how the election went. And like, there were a lot of things that could have been improved organizationally through very, very simple mechanisms. And the other day he's like, oh, did you write that letter? I'm like, babe, I wrote like a 3.5-page single space memo. Like, He's like, oh, God.
With 77 bullets.
Yeah, no, there were a lot of bullets. But, you know, I organized it by headers. It was good. But anyway, it really was good. And if people have the space to volunteer, I would highly, highly recommend contacting your town or city clerk, because you don't necessarily have to take on a 15-hour shift. I think everything from like envelope stuffing for, you know, mail-in ballots, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that they need help with desperately. So I would just encourage people to try that. If that doesn't work for you, I get it. I was super anxious. I actually posted a picture. I had my own like face shield. I was like BYOFS, bring your own face shield. Mm-hmm. So I was super anxious about it. So if that is not your jam and you are worried about it and it doesn't work for you, that's fine. And I will just say that I am obsessed with postcards to voters. I've talked about it on the show before. I've posted about it on social. And the past month, I guess, has been awesome because my kids have gotten involved in postcard writing with me. And we wrote postcards, about 30 of them, I think, to voters in Florida just to get out the vote. And that felt really meaningful because Florida, really important. And mm-hmm. then I just signed up. I just, you know, texted them to opt into another campaign. And I was so excited because one of the options that came back was a campaign for Amy McGrath in Kentucky. So you better believe we signed up to write 40 postcards and we're doing it right now. Mm-hmm. And that feels like, it just feels really exciting to me and to the kids to feel like we can actually do something and you don't have to leave your house and they get access to my pretty pens and they're very excited about that.
I'm going to be recording a video possibly later today about postcards to voters, which we will, by the way, link up in the show notes, folks. It's such an easy way to get involved. And second of all, Amy McGrath, if you don't know that name, get to know it, because
we'll link up an episode. We have an interview
amazing.
With her.
Christine interviewed her way back when she was that like 2017? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. It was amazing.
It was amazing.
She's
incredible. It was in person. Yeah. Right. It was crazy.
So she is running for Senate in Kentucky. Against so she McConnell. Is. She is just amazing. So, yes. Okay. Fabulous.
Yeah.
So much to do. This will be certainly a topic of conversation ongoing. Right. All of the election stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. All right. Well, Asha, we have just a few more kind of topics I want to hit on, and we'll do that after a quick break.
People often talk about the impact of things like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrition on skin. But did you know those things impact your hair, too? If you've been dealing with hair thinning, you are not alone, and Nutrafol is here to help. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. I appreciate that they offer formulas tailored to different life stages, such as postpartum and menopause, as well as different lifestyles, such as plant-based diets. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering Edit Your Life listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code EDIT. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. That's Nutrafol.com, spelled Nutrafol.com, and use promo code EDIT. That's Nutrafol.com using promo code EDIT. As you know, I am all about micro-improvements, and if you'd like to dedicate a little time each day to learn a language, I have a great solution for you. Babbel is a science-backed language learning app that offers 10-minute language lessons designed to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Materials are rooted in real-life situations, so you can learn important basics such as ordering food and asking for directions. Babbel offers personalized learning content, real-time feedback, tracking, and visualizations, and their speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. No matter what level you are looking for, casual, intense, or something in between, you can enjoy app lessons, podcasts, and live classes from the comfort of your home on your schedule. Here's a special limited-time deal for Edit Your Life listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription. This is only for Edit Your Life listeners at babbel.com/edit. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/edit. That's spelled BABBEL.com/edit. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, friends, Asha and I are back. See, I did it again. I can't contain myself, Asha. I'm so happy.
I think we need to have a little dancing video that goes along with this cute episode. Anyway, what can
let's
I say?
Make parallel Kermit Flail videos, you know, while you're filming. Okay. Anyway, we have a couple things I want to touch on before we wrap today. And this bucket I thought would be called like general pandemic bleep. I know we talked about the pandemic. I mean, everything is colored within the pandemic, I think, in our conversation, but I had a couple things that were on my mind that I wanted to mention. One sort of funny thing was that like 6 months later, right, we had our first outdoor dining experience and it was sort of meh. Mm. That was really funny. But the reason it was meh was because, so the only reason we did it was because, oh my gosh, my dear darling Laurel turned 16. So I was like, let's celebrate by eating outside somewhere, which we hadn't done. So we went to brunch to a local place and we were sitting there and it was really funny because we ordered and then it was taking forever. And we were like, oh yeah, this place always takes a really long time. And then the food was good, but honestly, we're pretty good cooks around here. So I was like, I had an omelet and I was like, you know, Laurel, your omelets are actually better. Like she's become a real omelet chef this pandemic. So it was just kind of funny. Like, I think I still obviously want to support the local restaurants, but I don't know, maybe I'll choose more wisely next time. And then another thing we're thinking about in the context of the pandemic is skiing. We're wondering what's happening. I know skiing feels far away, but also outdoor adventures are good and we love skiing. So that's something
like you're wondering how it, you know, how you will actually implement a skiing trip or if it's even a good idea.
I think we are at this point. I think we're going to plan on renting for, I own my gear, but, everybody else needs rentals. So I think we're going to go for it. Mm-hmm. I think the mountains are going to open. It looks like it. I think we'll just figure out a way to avoid the lodge, because that will be a disaster. So yeah. And then I guess we have to think about what to do about James. So that's James, the dog.
Yes. You've entered the world of dog sitting.
Yes, we have. And then I've said a number of times, like I haven't been particularly silver lining-y about the pandemic because it's just been so hard. Mm-hmm. But I will say that one of the things that I have really appreciated is efficiency. And so things like it's really interesting, like because of caution, like I'm thinking about our CSA, you used to go and browse vegetables and pick up and the people who ran it would have to stand outside for like 3 hours while people did this. Now it's all like order your box in advance and pick it up. And it's really quick. And I've helped stuff the boxes and it's so efficient. And then I had mentioned this the bagels that I treated the girls to the other day. Mm-hmm. This is a new place that opened locally. It's amazing. And when it first opened, it was literally line around the block. And then sometimes they would sell out and you'd be in line and wouldn't be able to get anything. So that's why I never had been there before. Now you order in advance and then you just go pick it up at a prescribed time. Like I kind of love that part of it. So I guess my hat's off to the different businesses that are making all of this work in an incredibly difficult time. It's been really fascinating to see process in action.
It is fascinating. And my favorite takeaway place, that's what they do. You order online and then you go at a prescribed time and pick it up. And whenever I go and I pick up my food, it's sitting there on this table in a bag and my name is on it with a little heart next to it. And it's like, this feels good. I love this. Uh-huh. I mean, you know, anyway, it's so interesting to hear what other folks are doing during this pandemic, because it's just different for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we have not even had any outdoor dining experiences. So I don't even like, you know, the biggest deal that we do is we get takeout. And that's been great. That's it. I'm good with that for now. Mm-hmm. So I guess overall, our pandemic experience, or, you know, in terms of how we've been sort of day to day living, we've been really strict in our Same. Approach. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And some of that has to do, well, I mean, it all has to just do with science. I mean, like, we don't want to get sick. And so we've been we're very, you know, we're very strict in our approach. But some of that is also really colored by the fact that we began this pandemic with my mom here. And mm-hmm. so we had somebody super vulnerable in our household. So we really, really just, you know, we do not have folks in our house. And so that I feel good about that. But at the same time, like our long term ongoing day to day life had to change because our mental health was suffering, especially my daughter. Like she needed some friends and she needed some time. And so we've adjusted our approach slightly. And I would not say we have, you know, metaphorically thrown open our front door and now we're just doing whatever we do. That's just not what we're doing. Mm-hmm. What we've done instead is just open up tiny windows and opened up tiny windows and really identified the things like who are the people and the activities that would give us sort of the most ability to be happy and function well, you know, a couple friends, you know, one or two activities. And then we've adjusted risk elsewhere in our lives to sort of, so we've tightened up in some places, loosened up in other places. So we have bubbled up with one family so that Mira can have a friend over and, you know, there people got COVID tests. We, you know, talk in detail about our, you know, comings and goings. I joke with this family. I said, you know, it's an open relationship. We got to let it all hang out.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
You know, this dad who I don't even know, I'm like, you know, look, barring nudism, we just need to basically like talk to each other about stuff. And then we just laughed and laughed. I'm like, yep, I'm going there. Yep. But I mean, really, that's how we feel comfortable. And this, you know, we want to be able to trust each other and we do. So, I mean, I think the other piece of this is that I haven't seen, you know, I took my mom home in June and I haven't seen my mom and she's alone. And I want to see my mom. I miss my mom. And there's more to say about that. So we are figuring ways out to do the kinds of things to be able to see our families in that respect. But otherwise, you know, we're really trying to keep that pretty focused. It's all about risk management and it's all about prioritizing for us. Mm-hmm. So that's sort of what's going on in our family.
Yeah. Yeah. Backyard is getting a lot of action. Like that's how we're trying to make time happen for our kids. So
yeah, thank goodness for the backyard.
I know.
Yeah. Thank goodness.
All right. Well, let's close out. Asha, I want to hear what you're doing for fun. Are you doing anything for fun these days? I mean, certainly your garden, that gorgeous oasis of yours. I hope you're spending time in it. Tell us.
Okay. So I will say probably not a surprise for longtime listeners, you know, fun stuff is like my weakness. I'm not great at fun stuff sometimes when life is hard. Like I just sort of get very quiet and I turn into like a little stone in the corner of my room. But that said, I am finding fun and I am on my good days really trying to focus on some things that are fun. And yes, at the top of that list is my backyard. So I do a lot of gardening every day in the morning. I go out with my clippers and I, you know, clean things up and pull out weeds. And this is all fun for me. I installed a new fountain, which the birds love. So that's super fun for me. And that's, again, that's not something I would usually do. Usually I'd be like, I'll just get a bowl and put water in it. But this time I'm like, no, I'm gonna spend some money and I got a fountain.
Worth it.
The birds are happy about that. And so that is, I would say, my major fun. But I've even found some like indoor fun, like Netflix shows. I just never watch TV. I forget about it. But I actually like did the whole browse Netflix thing, which is something everybody does and I never do. So I found this show called Cobra Kai, which is like,
Karate Kid?
Cobra Kai? It's like a continuation of Karate Kid. Okay. It's so fun and I love it a lot. So I am watching that right now. I'm not even going to say anything about it. I think people should just watch that show because it is surprising. And let me tell you, I'm a critic about TV. I don't just watch any TV. I'm a critic and I'm finding things about that show that I really think are adorable and surprising and fun. So I'm loving that show. And I'm also watching The New Girl, which most people watched, you know, like 10,000 years ago. You know, The New Girl with Zooey Deschanel.
Yeah, She's so cute.
She is adorable. That's a really funny show. Okay. A super funny show. So I've been enjoying that. But I think the other thing that I'm doing right now that's so fun is I'm filming these Vote Plus One videos. Mm-hmm. I've never filmed videos of myself before. Mm-hmm. I mean,
it's fun, right?
Yes. It's really fun.
Well, I hope it's fun. I hope it's fun. I find it very fun.
So. No, it's super fun. I actually like broke out the curling iron the other day. I'm like, what? I bought a curling iron.
Girl,
because
I love it.
Well, because my mom was here and mom's like, I can't go to the hairdresser. I'm like, I've got this. And I went and I bought like a curling iron and hairspray and stuff. And mom and I had some fun. And I haven't used a curling iron since the 80s.
They are magical. They're
but
magical.
But it was really, I mean, seriously, it's fun, not just because it's fun to film, but it's really fun to learn this whole new form of media and figure out how all the, you know, the YouTube buttons work and all the this and all the that. It's fun. So mm-hmm. that has been really stimulating for me. So that's been my fun.
That's good. That's good. I love it. I always find it very fascinating to like learn new stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing some fun things. Well, sort of, everyday fun things. I've been reading a ton. I mean, I usually do, but because normally I am totally a paper book girl, but yes. Because of the pandemic and when the libraries shut down, I like finished my pre-pandemic haul stack and things got desperate. So I signed up for a Libby account. Now I've just been reading a ton because I'm
so glad to hear that.
I have books, ebooks coming in off my holds, and then I have paper books coming on in off my holds. And that's really an escape for me. It's really important. And it's extra delightful because John built me an Adirondack chair. And so because we spend so much time
on that picture.
Oh my gosh. I cannot even. I told him I feel like I need like a crown burnished into the back of it with my name in it or something. But it's custom because he built one. He was planning on building a pair, but he built the first one and it was a standard length and I sat in it and my legs were too short. So he built mine with a little bit shorter seat so that my legs now fit perfectly on it.
People across America are swooning right now.
It's unbelievable.
Because of John Baxter.
I know. So I sit there, I'm reading my books. I have the dog at my feet. That's like, it's just a perfect moment. I actually like have had my coffee out there in the morning. It's quite delightful. The dog has been quite fun. I mean, also troublesome. I was thinking of you because like he's digging holes in the yard and it makes me crazy and I don't know what to do about it, but he's a dog, you know?
Yeah. That's pretty much where I would go.
Yeah. Yeah. And even when he looks up at me with his face with like dirt up his nostrils, I'm like, you're so cute. So that's been fun. And then I guess the most recent kind of Christine Coe fun thing was that I returned to cake baking because it was Laurel's birthday. I hadn't, you know, I have such a big family that I usually make cakes like all year long with some regularity, but because there have been no parties, I hadn't made a cake since Violet's birthday in March. So I got to make a beautiful cake. I can share a link for it, but it was dark chocolate sea salt caramel. And I've never successfully made caramel before. And Violet and I took it on as a science project. And we had one fail and we redid it and made our observations. And it ended up being like, oh, I forgot how much I love tactile projects like that. It was just so fun to ice it and fun to make the stuff with Vi. And then, yeah, it was great. So I don't know. Again, it's all about those little small things, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first of all, I saw a picture of that cake and I'm not even really I'm not a huge cake fanatic. I mean, I like cake, but that cake that looked particularly elegant and beautiful. I mean, elegant and beautiful is how I would describe Laurel. And so I just thought
it was
gosh,
very her. Yeah.
It's such a her cake, you know? And, but you know, where the reading is concerned, I've seen you posting about books you're reading and stuff like that. I am so glad that you're reading, because this is a perfect time to read. And I know for me, my concentration has been shot and I have had difficulty reading and I have actually been really sad about that. So I love that you post about the books that you're reading because somehow, in some ways, like those titles are stacking up in my own mind, and I know I won't always feel this distracted. So,
Yeah.
I'm glad you're finding these moments.
It's the little things, you know, definitely the little things. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, my dear friend, I think we need to close this episode out. So I would love to hear what your first next edit following sabbatical is. I don't know. I'm doing everything with a dramatic delivery.
Okay. I know.
I apologize.
Like, yeah, I know. Little, let's just have some jazz hands here. My next edit. Okay. My next edit, which I should say it might be the same, your next edit for like basically the entire fall. And that is choose one way to help get out the vote this year. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of ways to do it. Postcards to voters. You know, I am definitely here to help you, but that is one thing that I would do. Choose one way to help somebody else that you know vote. It could be one person. It could be multiple people. Even if it's just, you know, talking to your nephew and saying, hey, are you registered to vote? That's getting out the vote.
So yeah.
That's my next edit.
Love it. Love it.
What about you?
All right. Your next edit is to make a fall good things / happy list. So I say this because I want to call back to a couple summers ago when I had this massive meltdown that actually left me like curled up in the fetal position, like paralyzed on the floor. Like it was really bad. And one of the things that I did after that was I made a list of things that made me really happy. And I realized in making that list that a lot of those things were right around me. It was stuff like reading or playing tennis with John. Like it wasn't anything crazy. So I want to encourage people to do this because, oh my goodness, right now is so hard. Everything is so hard. Remote learning, all the things. I told you at the top of this episode that I was in a very dark place yesterday. So I just think it's a good idea to make that little list, have it at the ready so you can turn to it when you're having a tough time and pull something from that list and do it.
That's simple. And so smart.
Yeah.
I really need to do that myself. And I think that is wonderful. Thank you for reminding us about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's close
it
out.
I know. But can we just like have a little hug?
Okay. Yeah.
Totally. That was a little hug. I actually almost put my arms around my microphone here. Okay. But friends, you'll find the show notes for this episode, including links to resources we've mentioned, plus lots of great related episodes at edityourlifeshow.com.
And this week, we'd like to know, what is one thing you are looking forward to this fall? Hop over to facebook.com/edityourlifeshow and look for the question of the week pinned to the top of the page, or you can chat with us on Instagram at edityourlifeshow. Thanks for listening.
Hey there, I'm Debbie Reber, the founder of Tilt Parenting and the author of the book Differently Wired. The mission of Tilt is to change the way neurodivergence, whether that's having a learning disability, having ADHD, being gifted, autistic, or some combination of all of the above, is perceived and experienced so differently wired kids and the parents like us raising them can truly thrive. On the Tilt Parenting podcast, I get to talk with authors, therapists, educators, and parenting experts who are committed to this mission. I ask the questions my listeners are most curious about when it comes to supporting our kids. And in turn, my guests share strategies for challenges, out-of-the-box ideas for navigating school, best practices for therapies, tips for advocating, and so many thoughtful insights on what it really takes to help our kids grow up feeling seen and respected so they can create awesome lives for themselves. I know that raising a differently wired kid can feel overwhelming and isolating, but I promise you, you are not alone, and it can feel so much better. If you're on this parenting journey, come listen to Tilt Parenting. Together, we can shift this paradigm and show up for our exceptional kids with hope, possibility, and joy.